I can't promise you that you'll live forever, but we'll do our best to get you living longer, healthier, and happier. This is Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio, cutting-edge thinking for being youthful at every age. On each program, I interview experts on what it takes to live longer, healthier, and happier. Our program takes a holistic approach in addressing anti-aging psychology, medicine, alternative medicine, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. Our emphasis is on innovative thinking and practices that have solid data and results. What if you had a guardian angel to help protect you from chemicals that can cause health problems like asthma, seizures, tremors, dementia, and even cancer? Well, you do. The National Toxic Encephalopathy Foundation, a nonprofit organization, helps inform you and businesses about chemicals that can harm you and healthy alternatives to those toxic chemicals. Encephalopathy, of course, refers to diseases affecting the brain. We have two guests today. Dr. Jack Thrasher is the technical consultant and spokesperson for the National Toxic Encephalopathy Foundation. Dr. Thrasher is a toxicologist, immunologist, and fetal toxicologist, and he's written dozens of articles and papers and book chapters and frequently testifies as an expert witness in court cases. Many of his articles appear on the foundation's website, ntefusa.org. The NTEF, of course, standing for National Toxic Encephalopathy Foundation. So ntefusa.org. Notice that's .org. Our second guest, Angel DeFazio, is president of NTEF and is an environmental activist who's focused on cosmetics, fragrances, and air fresheners. Today's program will probably scare you. Our intention is not to freak you out, but alert you to dangers and provide healthy alternatives to the products you use. Dr. Thrasher and Ms. DeFazio, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Bricky. It's nice to be on the program with you.
Let's start off with the youngest members of our society, the babies. Are parents sometimes unknowingly using toxic chemicals with our babies?
In my opinion, absolutely. There's no question about that. You know, all we have to do is look at pesticides and insecticides, and that is an area in which infants or the fetus is being exposed constantly, and people are unaware of the toxicology and the toxic effects on the fetus. And I can get into more detail on it, but there's been plenty of information published on this issue. For example, organophosphates do lead to the development of PDD, developmental pervasive disorders.
Organic phosphates?
Organophosphates, yes.
Can you tell us what that is?
Organophosphates are a pesticide that's used that inhibits an enzyme called acetylcholinesterase, but also has been found to inhibit other enzymes that are in the developing fetus. And this has been used routinely for many, many years to kill termites, cockroaches, and et cetera. And you'll have your man from the local pesticide exterminating company come in and spray your home, and you're pregnant, and you breathe this in, and then it gets to the fetus and creates problems. And that's just exactly what happens.
Now, you're talking about indoor use as well as outdoor use?
Indoor and outdoor. The outdoor use, the state of California, the Department of Health, has done considerable amount of epidemiology studies on these particular chemicals or pesticides or insecticides, and have demonstrated this over and over again in field workers. But it also occurs in the home in domestic settings. And I'm thinking right now of a series of studies done by a Dr. Wyatt in New York, who looked at a cohort, what we mean by a group of women, about 500 women, exposed to these organophosphates during pregnancy. They found the organophosphates in the umbilical blood of the child when it was born, and they followed these children over a period of years, and they found that they developed PDD, pervasive developmental disorder.
Now, if I go to the grocery store and get a can of Raid, is that going to have the chemical?
May not have organophosphates in it because their PA is trying to phase all of these out because of the severe toxicity, but you may pick up the can and see a little term called pyrethrins or pyrethroids. These are synthetic chemicals that we are beginning now to realize that cause similar neurological damage in experimental animals, and why should we wait for it to show up in humans? You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
The other thing about pesticides that people are not told is the only testing that is done on a pesticide of any type is on what we call the active ingredient, that is the actual chemical that does the killing, whether it be a herbicide, whether it be a rodenticide, or whether it be an insecticide. Now, when they spray this, they spray a mixture, and you read the can, it says inert ingredients, I-N-E-R-T. Now, that mixture that you're using, including the active ingredient, which is the pesticide, and all the other chemicals added to it, have not been tested for their toxicology. So what you're taking is a pesticide off the shelf, and you're spraying it in your house, and nobody's tested the toxicology of that mixture.
And your research suggests that the inert ingredients often have problems?
Oh, the inert ingredients often are organic solvents containing aromatics and a variety of other chemicals that are known to cause neurological deficits, not only in the fetus, but in the newborn.
So if I have ants in my house, what should I do?
Boric acid or borate.
Light
it on. The ants will pick up the borate and take it back to his nest and kill the young ones.
Also, soap and water. Regular dishwashing soap mixed in a bucket of water with the sponge kills them automatically. White vinegar will kill an ant trail. These are very, very simple, non-toxic substances that everybody has in their home.
Hey, the price is right.
Yes, but they're so used to seeing the marketing of the neurotoxins known as pesticides that they automatically reach for that rather than taking the time to say, is there a safer alternative?
We'll take another example. I learned this many years ago, and I hope the audience doesn't laugh, but I was out playing around and got the old thing called crabs. I didn't know how to get rid of the crabs, so I talked to an entomologist when I was at school at UCLA, and I was in graduate school, and she said, oh, to get rid of lice, including crabs, just paste yourself with Vaseline. And the Vaseline plugs the pores, in the lice, you follow? So you don't have to use dangerous insecticides to get rid of lice. And there is a shampoo on the market that contains a dangerous pesticide. That pesticide is called lindane, L-I-N-D-A-N-E. And people are using it on the heads of their children to get rid of lice. They shouldn't be doing that. Just plaster the top of the head with Vaseline, and in a matter of a few hours, the lice are dead, and you wash the hair.
And the lindane is commonly being recommended by physicians, widely used.
There is a gentleman who has a website, getipm.com, and he was a former pesticide applicator who realized that pesticides were dangerous. So he's created a safer alternative to lindane. It's on the website. He also offers a book free of charge that people could download called The Best Control, and it lists safer alternatives for mosquitoes, gnats, things of that nature.
And I'd like to comment that all the websites and books and pamphlets you're recommending, you don't have any financial interest. This is an objective recommendation, and almost all of them will also be somewhere on your website if people didn't catch the link.
Yes, we have absolutely no interest, financial or otherwise, in any product that we recommend. We just find these to be the best in their field. For example, summer's coming up. Everybody's barbecuing. And mosquitoes and gnats are a big problem. And everybody burns a citronelle candle, sprays, whatever. It's hot. People enjoy a breeze. And you can't guarantee that you're going to have a breeze with every barbecue. But if you take an oscillating fan and put it on each side of the area where you're having your barbecue and have it blowing, the insects cannot fly in the wind. So you've got a cross breeze, and it's also acting as a natural repellent. People don't realize it's very easy to find something in your home to mitigate the problems that they're having.
When you said it acts as a natural repellent, you mean just the breeze or also blowing the smoke from the barbecue toward them?
Not quite sure about the smoke from the barbecue, and I don't want to comment on that. But the insects cannot fly in the wind. So by having the cross breeze, you're keeping them away from everyone.
that standard flight information on insects, a good breeze, you'll find very few insects in the air. You may find a butterfly or a few, or a dragonfly, but the smaller insects like mosquitoes and et cetera don't fly because they just aerodynamically do not fly well in that type of an atmosphere.
Well, we're getting all kinds of lessons today. Back on babies, you have concerns about baby powder?
I wanted to address carpets because most parents, when they create the baby's room, they will put carpet in the baby's room.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is there are so many neurotoxins inside of a carpet that they actually recommend that babies and children be kept off of the new synthetic carpets because everybody is familiar with the new carpet smell.
Mm-hmm.
Some people enjoy it. Some people find it repulsive. But what they don't realize is new carpets create allergies, asthma, difficulty concentrating. Then you have the formaldehyde, the benzene, the toluene from the glue, the fibers, the stain resistance that they put in there. When you put it inside of a home, the most dangerous time is the first 4 weeks to 3 months after installation because of the smells. And you have the child or newborn infant who's got an immature immune system. They're inhaling these neurotoxins. Do they create neurodevelopmental problems down the road? Possibly. I'm not going to say yes or no. But there's a good chance. So parents need to look into safer items to put in a baby's room, especially furniture-wise.
So the rule of thumb on carpets would be if it's been aired out for 4 months or so, it's probably okay?
It's a little less. It takes quite a few years for formaldehyde to off-gas.
Hmm.
It's not a quick process. And a lot of the products have stain-resistant and fungicides put on there, and that creates their own set of health issues also.
And formaldehyde is one of the ingredients in a lot of carpets then?
Yes, and since Angel brought up the situation of a baby's environment, you know, the state of California has recently done a study on cribs, and cribs, particularly those imported from China, but also manufactured in this country, are manufactured from particle board.
Mm-hmm.
And particle board is usually made with a resin called urea formaldehyde. This resin breaks down at room temperature and room humidity to release free formaldehyde. And what they're finding is these cribs are releasing formaldehyde, and you're putting your baby down into the formaldehyde environment inside of a crib. So not only do you have the carpet that Angel had mentioned earlier in our conversation, but now you have a crib, you have a dresser, you have other furniture in the room, and you're creating a formaldehyde environment. Now, what is the danger to the infant? Well, the infant's lungs have not developed, and they are still developing up through almost puberty. It only takes a few minutes for those lungs to become irritated in that infant, which formaldehyde will do, and start creating edema of the lungs. And the baby can turn blue.
Which would be the baby's lungs filling up with fluid.
Right. His lung is filling up with fluids. The baby can turn blue, can quit breathing, have difficulty breathing. And I suspect, even though it has not been looked at, I suspect it may be one of the causes of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. They're looking at cigarette smoke, which a lot of people are no longer smoking, you follow?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at other things like bacteria in the air and endotoxins in the air, and they're forgetting about this formaldehyde environment that people are putting their infant in.
A lot of children's furniture is made out of plastic that looks solid. Is there any problem with those kinds of furniture?
Oh, I'm looking at a report done by the Chemical Health Environmental Justice Foundation, and what they did was along this line is they have looked at shower curtains and children's toys.
Hmm.
These plastics do produce volatile organic compounds that get into the environment, and up to 105 different compounds, including phthalates. And phthalates are very irritating to the respiratory tract. And this was just published on their website, Center for Health, Environment, and Justice. It's abbreviated CHEJ. Mm-hmm. And you can get on their website and get a copy of this. And this one is titled Volatile Vinyl, The New Shower Curtain's Chemical Smell. And they go into detail about all of the volatiles that are coming out of this particular product that you buy, which is the vinyl shower curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And they stink like crazy. They emit a lot of volatile organic compounds that are dangerous to the brain and to the lungs. And they will emit many days, 30 or 40 days, I think it's showed in here, after you hang it.
So if someone has a shower curtain that's fairly new or something, can they hang it outside for a few days? Would that help?
That's what they recommend in this thing, is hang it outside. Don't hang it up in the house. Many homes have two bathrooms, so if you have two shower curtains, you've doubled the load that's mm-hmm. coming off these particular products. The main part about this particular study is they also go into information on children's plastic toys, and they are producing similar type chemicals.
Hmm.
Also, regarding the formaldehyde, it's a known carcinogenic, which most people are not made aware of. Also, a lot of the mobile homes and trailers emit formaldehyde. A lot of building materials are made with formaldehyde. And also, our permanent press clothing is made with a form of formaldehyde. So every time we try to avoid having to iron after washing something, we're either sleeping on it or we're wearing formaldehyde. And people don't realize anything on your body automatically is absorbed into the bloodstream. Everybody assumes that the skin protects. The skin absorbs.
So you have a permanent press shirt or blouse. How long does that formaldehyde stay in there?
Until you try to remove it. And the easiest way to remove formaldehyde is to take powdered milk in cold water inside a washing machine and let it soak for a couple of hours or a day. Wash the shirt, sheets, whatever. Redo it. And then do it again with vinegar and Arm & Hammer baking soda. And it should remove almost all of the formaldehyde.
What will happen there is now you've removed the anti-wrinkle component of the shirt to wind up pressing the shirt. I've gotten to the point where I wear shirts unpressed.
If we send a shirt to the dry cleaners to get cleaned and pressed, is that going to have chemical problems?
I'm going to let Jack handle that.
Well, that all depends upon what they're using as a cleaning agent. Most of these dry cleaning outfits use chlorinated solvents. And some of these chlorinated solvents are being phased out or have been phased out. One is called perchloroethylene, the other one was trichloroethylene, and now they're using TCA, trichloroethane. But what they're doing is phasing this out because they interfere with the ozone layer. And so now they're trying to market a new product, a siloxane compound, and no one's done any toxicology on that. So I prefer not cleaning anything, and I don't. I generally do all the washing according to what Angel has recommended. Occasionally I have to have a suit dry clean, but when I do that, I take it out of the bag that the cleaners has put it in and hang it out on a clothesline for a period of several days to allow all of the solvents used in the cleaning to outgas.
Angel, you have concerns about baby powder and some of the things we put on babies' skins?
A group in California called the Environmental Working Group a few years ago submitted a petition to the Food and Drug Administration regarding the health hazards regarding talc, which is found in baby powder. And they had found that it does create major health problems. And currently, the petition was denied by the FDA, and I believe they're looking to have it re-reviewed because of the health issues. So parents should not be using any sort of baby powder on the infants, especially the little girls. They can use cornstarch, which is what our parents and grandparents used. It's safer, and so far there have been no health risks associated with it.
And the reason you said baby girls is some of the research is suggesting that the powder may lead to gynecological problems.
Well, they have found some of the fibers have entered the body. And so it's better to err on the side of caution rather than anything else. If I remember correctly, and Dr. Thrasher could confirm it, I believe talc is somehow chemically related to asbestos.
From the particle size point of view, it was at one time. Usually the talc today is a titanium dioxide type material. But years ago, when they used talc in general, it contained asbestos. It may today, I don't know. I haven't looked at it lately.
Okay, let me get back to our close. We talked about all the things not to do and the problems with permanent press. Angel, how do you recommend that we do our laundry?
Well, I don't recommend people go outside and beat it on a rock with a washboard. There's safer products. For example, you don't need chlorine bleach. Chlorine bleach over a period of time will weaken the fabric fibers. They have non-chlorine bleach that's made from hydrogen peroxide. Companies like Seventh Generation and Planet have non-chlorine bleach, which is safe to use on both whites and colors. Most people have walked down the laundry aisle and they could smell the laundry products. And that's basically from the breakdown of the chemicals that are now being permeated through the boxes into the aisles. I recommend that people use liquid laundry soap, Seventh Generation, Planet. They have free and clear and fragrance-free lines. We don't need our clothes to smell. There is no reason. The clothes do not need deodorants. They do not need fragrances. We don't need dryer sheets. If you put in some Arm & Hammer baking soda, white vinegar, you could reduce the so-called stiffness of the clothes. Dryer sheets are the most toxic thing that anybody can have in their home. Back in 1991, a gentleman named Lance Wallace with the EPA did an analysis, and at that time, they found chloroform inside of dryer sheets. And chloroform is what they used many, many years ago to knock people out.
Well, we know that from all the crime programs.
Right. And so that's used in the dryer sheet. Is this reasonable to use on a baby's layette? No. Because do we know that this may or may not be a factor in SIDS? It's chloroform. The baby sleeps, what, 20-some-odd hours a day? They're inhaling all the toxic ingredients in the fragrance, the chloroform, things of that nature.
Wow.
Dryer balls. They look like soaked hand baseballs. Throw two of them inside the dryer. That works.
Oh, cool.
Static cling is from synthetic materials like nylon. So a little piece of tin foil rolled up in a ball should attract most of the static electricity that's generated.
Wow. Cool. Well, it's summer. I keep slathering sunscreen on my twins before I send them off to camp and use a lot of sunscreen myself. Are there any problems with some of those products?
The one product I have a real problem with is Clarins Ultra Sunscreen. It has peanut oil in it. And if a child has peanut allergies, and if the mother is just looking at the box and seeing the words natural, botanical, sun PF, such and such, they're going to assume that this is safe to use on the child. Most people don't read the ingredients, and there is peanut oil in there. If the child has an allergy and the mother puts it on the child, you're going to create a health problem. And the mother's going to wonder, where is the peanut coming from that the child is reacting to? And if they're at a beach and the mother does not have an EpiPen or whatever, we've got a health issue. If they're at a pool, same thing. This is not a safe product, and it must be avoided by most parents.
And the parents are going to be clueless as to what the cause was. Are there other products that have peanut ingredients in it as well?
Yes. About four or five of Clarins' line has hydrogenated peanut oil, things of that nature. You could find that information on our website.
You're listening to Ageless Lifestyles Radio on webtalkradio.net. I'd love to get your emails and comments. Send them to radio@agelesslifestyles.com. That's radio@agelesslifestyles.com. Today we're talking with Dr. Jack Thrasher and Angel DeFazio with the NTEF. That's the National Toxic Encephalopathy Foundation. Their website is ntefusa.org. I'd like to also mention that Dr. Thrasher is available for consultation on legal cases, and you can find a link to him on the NTEFUSA.org website. Angel, I'm curious how NTEF got started. Did you found it yourself, and what's the background of the foundation?
It was started back in 1998. I, a few years before, was a medical student, and I was exposed and injured and poisoned by formaldehyde from the cadaver labs. And within 3 weeks, I became poisoned. That took 3 years to resolve. And then by the time it resolved, I was intentionally sprayed with perfume by Clarins representative. And that has caused my health to decline. So we were normally concerned with the effects of chemicals on the brain. But through our resources, we were able to obtain corporate documents regarding Clarins. And what we had found was extremely distressing. They were hiding the fact that they knew that their product could possibly cause blindness, which I know a lot of people every once in a while will spray themselves in the eye with perfume. We have found a sunscreen additive called benzophenone 2. Benzophenone 2 affects the thyroid. Additionally, it's an endocrine disruptor, and it could cause uterine thickening of the walls.
And the Clarins products are still available?
Clarins is an international company. They pride themselves on being natural and botanical. The problem is, they're not. Inside Angel Perfume, we found a drug precursor called coumarin. Coumarin is the precursor to the anticoagulant drug warfarin. Now, people who are on blood thinners have to have their blood levels monitored very carefully because it's such a narrow range. So if you have too much, you could bleed to death. Too little, you could clot. Now, coumarin is absorbed into the body, and there have been confirmed studies that women who have been exposed to coumarin, their children in school age, could have less favorable task-oriented and social-emotional behavior problems and mild neurological dysfunction. Now, this is frightening.
Is this the same as the blood thinner Coumadin, or a relative of it?
Coumadin is a precursor of warfarin. The warfarin is the most common anticoagulant used with people who, you know, have heart disease and they're trying to prevent clotting.
And literally millions of people taking it.
So anybody taking warfarin or any anticoagulant agent and then putting these perfumes on their bodies are increasing the amount of anticoagulants in their body, in their circulation. Therefore, there's a good chance they could bleed and hemorrhage in various places of their body without realizing it.
So the foundation got started with a mission of making sure these kinds of problems don't happen to other people.
Yes.
And you're largely dependent on donations.
Yes.
Which you can access on your website. There's a link for donations.
Yes, at the bottom.
I want to point out that Clarins is not the only company that has problems. I'm involved in a case in Southern California in which there'll be used products produced by a manufacturer. The name of the manufacturer, I don't mind giving you, is called Cosmo Beauty Lab. And this woman put this stuff on her face and developed serious skin disease, and then she took a drug that also exacerbated the skin disease, and she developed a case situation called toxic epidermal necrolysis and lost almost all the skin of her body. This product contained almost the same ingredients that the Clarins products contain, and some of these are propylene glycol, diazolinidyl urea, which releases formaldehyde, methylparaben, which is a skin sensitizer and causes allergic reactions. Polyparaben, same thing as the methylparaben, basically, contains citric acid, benzophenone 4, sodium EDTA, and a number of chemicals that can cause skin disease.
A lot of more conscientious people are going to look for products that have things in their label like botanical or natural or pure. Clarins. Do they lie about it, or is there a loophole that lets people get around these labels?
Plant. They list a couple of the natural and botanicals that they put in there, and they tend to neglect the more toxic ones. For example, almost every perfume is made with alcohol. What people don't understand is alcohol defats the skin and makes it readily absorbable. Now, when you think about where you're supposed to put perfume, it's at the pulse points. Now, the pulse points are where your vascular system is more superficial, so it achieves its goal even faster. Now, a lot of the chemicals are what's called skin permeators, and it drives it in even further. So whatever in that mixture is introduced into the body. The problem with fragrances and perfumes is they are not regulated. They fall under the FDA classification of food and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they don't have to be tested for safety. The FDA relies upon the manufacturer to provide testing.
Do these labels then, pure, natural, and organic, do any of those mean anything?
Be very cautious about that. I'm looking here at a study, and I emailed this to you, Dr. Bricky. It's a lawsuit filed by Attorney General Edmund G. Brown, Jr. in the state of California against four manufacturers of so-called natural products. And these are Avalon Natural Products, Alba Brand Products, Beaumont Products, and the third one is Nutrabiotic Products. What they have discovered is that these products, although they claim are natural, the manufacturing process uses a very toxic chemical called ethylene oxide. During the manufacturing process, the ethylene oxide joins to itself and produces a carcinogen called 1,4-dioxane, A-N-E. And many of these products contain potentially toxic levels of this 1,4-dioxane. So Attorney General Brown has filed suit against them and asked them to warn the public. And only one of the four companies so far has decided to warn the public, and that's Beaumont Products. And apparently Beaumont Products is taking steps to remove this carcinogen from their products. We're all very familiar with it. We can go to Whole Food Markets and buy these things, for example.
Wow.
And they're not labeled.
See, the thing is, when you look at a label or something on the website, they'll pick out a couple of ingredients, and that's what people see. But if you really look at the ingredient panel, you'll find things such as phenoxyethanol, which is a preservative. The problem is, this is extremely harmful to the skin, to the eyes, and it's also toxic to the kidneys, the central nervous system, and the liver. Now, the problem is people are not given MSDS sheets, which mean material safety data sheets, which is basically a biography of a chemical or the product. And
we wouldn't understand it if we did get it.
Well, some of them are written very generically, but they're also, it depends on who's producing it, how much of a slant they give to it. Now, a manufacturer of phenoxyethanol will let people know on the material safety data sheet that repeated or prolonged exposure could produce those organ damages. Also, they will let people know that repeated or prolonged inhalation of the vapors may lead to chronic respiratory irritation. The big thing that we're concerned with is you have industry who has their own laboratory who researches individual chemicals for toxicity, but they don't research the finished product for the synergistic effects that each chemical has upon each other. And that's the main problem with fragrances.
So for a woman who wants to buy some perfume, what's she to do?
Not buy it.
Don't wear any perfume.
There is not a safe perfume on the market. if they feel they need to have a scent emanating from them. Take some organic vanilla extract if they're not allergic to vanilla or alcohol and dab it behind your ears. Take an extract of something like that. We do not recommend essential oils because they will affect the brain. And the one thing we're concerned about is we want less toxic ingredients or anything else hitting the brain. The brain needs to function for its intended purpose.
Now, what do you mean by essential oils?
Essential oils like lavender, patchouli, things of that nature. You'll see them advertised all over the place to help you relax.
So a lot of people that are doing their yoga and put some potpourri or incense or something like that are really undermining the whole yoga experience.
Well, the thing is, in order for them to relax, the brain has to tell the central nervous system to relax. So you're hitting the brain with something that is not normally manufactured in the body. The brain has what's called the blood-brain barrier, and it was created to selectively keep out anything that would be harmful to the brain. And that's why certain drugs, when they're manufactured, are made either small or large molecules so that they do not affect the brain. People don't understand this. They just figure, oh, it's safe, it's natural. It's not. It's still a semi-form of a drug that is hitting the brain.
Yeah, well, I'd like to add something to this, Angel, is that not only do you get chemicals entering the brain via general circulation, you also get them into the brain when you smell them. And I'll explain to you briefly what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Nasal cavity, the top of it has a group of cells we call olfactory neurons. These are an extension of the brain out so you can smell the environment. When you take in an odor or particulate matters into that area of the brain, there's no blood-brain barrier. And these chemicals follow the olfactory neurons and then what we call the olfactory tract, which are the axons or dendrites, I believe it is, on this, the axons, we'll call it axons, up into the olfactory lobes and enter the brain. Now, there's a physician by the name of Dr. Caldron Garciduenas at Montana University, and she has been studying this phenomenon in animals and in humans. And when we breathe this material, it gets into the brain and spreads throughout the brain. It can go to the substantia nigra and the frontal cortex and other regions of the brain and cause brain damage. And she's been able to demonstrate that this type of exposure to particulates and the chemicals associated with the particulate matter that gets into the nasal cavity does lead to the development of neurocognitive deficits as the child develops. Now, isn't that a frightening experience?
Yeah. So is your conclusion that anything that we can smell that isn't food or food cooking or maybe flowers and things growing outside is probably dangerous?
That is right. Those odors or those chemicals will get directly into the brain and most likely in large enough concentrations can cause neurodevelopmental effects, particularly in developing children. Now, I'll call her Caldron, but she's Spanish, Dr. Caldron hyphen Garciduenas. She's been able to demonstrate this in children up through young adults. She picked the city of New Mexico in order for experimental animals, and she uses dogs as an experimental animal, and also they've looked at young children and compared these children in Mexico City to a lesser polluted city and able to demonstrate beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is what is happening, particularly in cities with air pollution. And we've got Los Angeles County, mm-hmm. for example, New York City, Washington, D.C. in this country. You start naming the cities that have pretty severe episodes of air pollution, and we have a chronic health problem out there.
So we've got enough air pollution without putting chemicals directly on our body as well, like perfumes and soaps and things.
And
I also wanted to ask about deodorants. Are any of those safe?
Those are not bad. They're the least toxic.
What are the crystals?
They're literally a crystal. It looks like an orb that sits inside a regular container, and people moisten it and apply it to their armpits.
Hmm.
I wanted to address something about fragrances regarding the labeling. The European Union is very, very in tune to the toxicity of the chemicals inside of cosmetics, and they came up with a list of 20 some odd known allergens. And if any product is made with these allergens, it must be put on the label. They must comply if they sell to any country in the European Union. But the United States does not have the requirement. So there, at times, there's two different formulas of cosmetics or fragrances, mm-hmm. one for the European market and one for the United States market. And almost every fragrance has at least two or three of these known irritants in it. Are cosmetics labeled? No. And that's one of our main concerns. To the point, when we found the coumarin inside the perfume, we actually submitted to the Food and Drug Administration a petition to declare it misbranded, have it reclassified as a drug, and we're requesting that it be seized at the United States borders for failure to uphold our rules and regulations. And it currently is under review with an FDA scientist. We also have a couple of congressional committees that are interested in what we found, and they're looking into this because of the neurodevelopmental potential for this product by women who are pregnant. Now, what Dr. Thrasher has found is we were researching some of Clarins' pregnancy recommended cosmetics, and some of the stuff that they recommended for use on the breast is very frightening because the breast is developing, it's growing during pregnancy. All of this, we believe, is being absorbed. We do not know whether they tested the fetal blood and the maternal blood at the time of delivery for these known toxins. Has it been absorbed by the developing fetus? And we have requested that to be looked into for the FDA also. It's frightening what they are allowing people to put on their bodies under the guise of beauty.
The reason that the companies go to all the trouble to make a different formula for Europe and the United States, is that just cost-cutting, or is that that the chemicals they're adding in the United States are more potent?
The European organization that Angel had referred to earlier has specific rules and regulations on certain ingredients. We do not have those rules and regulations in effect in the United States. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration deals with cosmetic companies as they import them. And what they say, this is a self-policing organization, and we really don't need to regulate them. So what has happened, there is a different product for the European market because that is being regulated by the European market. And the products that come into this country are not regulated because there's no regulation. You understand what I'm saying with that?
So they're just saving money?
I don't know what they're doing with it, but they're putting a different product into the U.S. market than they are into the European market. Now, whether they're saving money or it's cost-cutting service, I don't think either Angel or I know for certain.
Okay. You're listening to Angel's Lifestyles Radio on webtalkradio.net, and we've been talking with toxicologist Dr. Jack Thrasher, who's a consultant and spokesperson for the National Toxic Encephalopathy Foundation, and with Angel DeFazio, who is the founder and president of the organization. This program has been a real eye-opener, and we've got a lot of homework to do. Fortunately, a lot of the information is on your website in articles that are very readable and practical. And one of the things I love about you is that you give practical alternatives instead of just saying, things are terrible. And I'd also like to add that you are dependent on donations, and I would encourage listeners to consider donating. Any final thoughts?
The thing I could say is people when they hear a product being advertised on TV, it's not being advertised for your benefit. It's being advertised for their bottom line. And an educated consumer is a healthy consumer. They need to literally pick up a box or go to the Environmental Working Group's website, type in the product that they want to buy, and read the ingredients ahead of time. On the Environmental Working Group's website, they break it down according to whether it has been tested, the ingredients, whether it's carcinogenic, things of that nature. And people need to look at that before they make a purchase. Don't rely on Madison Avenue to tell you, for example, Febreze and all these air fresheners. They are dangerous. All you're doing is adding more toxic ingredients that are scented to an already toxic problem that you're trying to remediate. And it doesn't take a lot to open up a window to introduce fresh air. If people have to have a fragrance in their home to feel Christmassy or something like that, take a couple of cinnamon sticks and boil them in water and walk around the house mm-hmm. with the pot and let it permeate that way. You're achieving the same effect, but you're doing it in a non-toxic environment. Air fresheners are horrible. They are one of the major indoor pollutants. Casinos here in Vegas use it to kill the smell of smoke or to create a feeling of, oh, I'm enjoying myself, whatever. Again,
I find one of the biggest ironies is the nursing homes and hospitals use this stuff like crazy and also are waxing and stripping the floors all the time with chemicals for people who are especially vulnerable.
Well, the thing is, if you have an odor, find the source of the odor and remove mm-hmm. it. Don't cover it up. Fish smells or garlic, we know where that's coming from. Open a window, spray some liquid zeolite. It removes it immediately. In homes, it's probably because they're understaffed and a lot of the residents are incontinent, and so they're trying to cover that up. It's mm-hmm. a Band-Aid approach. You're not getting to the root of the problem.
Dr. Bricky, you raised the issue there, too, which, the people in that type of a home are in the more sensitive category because they already have pre-existing illness, and whatever their facility is being cleaned with is only going to add to their health problem.
We need to wrap up. I do want to give the website again, NTEF USA, and the NTEF stands for the National Toxic Encephalopathy Foundation, NTEFUSA.org. Dr. Thrasher and Angel, thank you so much for a shocking and fascinating program. Really appreciate you and all the work that you're doing. I'm really impressed with NTEF because of their objectivity, how they base their recommendations on research data, and of course their passion. When I try to pull together what to do about what they talked about, and frankly I find it a little overwhelming and a little dizzy from all the chemical terms, I came up with three items, and these easily make baby steps to help you live longer and healthier and happier. The first is fragrances, and we get that in not only perfumes, but it seems like so many products, shampoos and laundry detergents, all kinds of things are scented. We seem to have an obsession about any unpleasant smell and are tempted to cover it up rather than deal with the problem. So with scents, since there is at least some risk involved, why take the risk? Whenever possible, I think we'd be well advised to choose unscented products and go easy on even the scents that make us feel a little better or feel a little more attractive. The second baby step would be to keep a watchful eye on formaldehyde, particularly when purchasing carpets and the padding under the carpet, and in products with particle boards. And third would be pesticides, both indoor and outdoor, seeking out healthy alternatives to pesticides that have toxins. I love to get emails. Please send them to radio@agelesslifestyles.com. That's radio@agelesslifestyles.com. We had several emails this week about my interview with Dr. Sonia Lubomirsky about how to be happier. Some listeners asked about the story I told about the students who wanted to discontinue their little homework assignment of counting their happies because they were getting scared. And the listeners wanted to know, why would somebody not want to be happier? Two possible things going on here. One is sometimes people feel comfortable and secure when they know how the game is played, and becoming happier is a strange new world. You feel like you don't know how it's played and that you could easily be blindsided, kind of comparable to someone changing social class. Yes, most of us would rather be in a higher socioeconomic class, but oftentimes there's another part of us that says, wait a minute, I might always feel like an imposter there. I don't really know how to follow the rules there. I would pretty inept at that higher social class. Whereas what I'm doing now, I know how to do it, and I'm pretty good at it. And why mess with a reasonable amount of success? A closely related interpretation would be that they feel a sense of control at their current level of happiness. And if they become happier, they're not so sure if that they won't be blindsided with some big unhappiness, that they're setting themselves up for a big fall. So better to play it safe than take the risk. If you want to get biblical about it, we have Jesus' parable of the talents, where the one man buried his talent, which was a coin, out of fear of losing it, where the other two men invested their talents. Of course, talents is a nice pun in English, but the other two men invested their talents and were richly praised. I also had questions about what I thought of her approach in general. I see it as a bottom-up approach. Follow these strategies and it will lead you to good habits that will inevitably bring you to a happier life. That's a very legitimate approach. You could do it top-down. A very thorough top-down approach would go right through what's my vision, what's my mission, what are my primary questions, and my scripts, and my values, and my rules, and my capabilities, and my environment, and my goals. Taking that comprehensive look and see if everything meshes together. One of the advantages of a top-down approach is you get some people, this is not a majority, but some people whose life is out of alignment or who sabotage themselves. For example, just about everybody knows somebody who believes that men are no damn good or women are damn good, and they keep pairing off with people who match their belief. And when they do meet somebody who is a good, caring, responsible person, they often sabotage it and push the person away. Likewise, it's remarkable how many women in particular will marry an alcoholic or abusive husband, get a divorce, and then turn around and marry another alcoholic and or abusive husband. You tend to find those things that are out of alignment or those things that sabotage when you look at primary questions. That's the question that we tend to ask ourselves all the time, like, why does this always happen to me? Why can't I get a break? Why can't I get ahead? Why doesn't anybody love me? Those would be self-defeating primary questions, as opposed to how can I make this a great day? How can I help somebody? What can I learn today? When we look at scripts, that's where we often see people playing out scripts that they learn from their parents or other people. For example, you get a mother that says, oh, you're just like your old man, you're no good. And then the person ends up following that script. And we sometimes see people get tripped up with rules. These may be rules like macho rules about what a real man does, or stand by your man rules for a woman. We see a very interesting version of that with the politicians who are caught visiting prostitutes or doing other illegal things. Wives stand by their side meekly at the press conferences, and you wonder, why in the world are they doing this? Or you have rules about never give a sucker an even break, and that certainly supports a certain kind of lifestyle. Anyway, when we find happiness getting sabotaged, it usually comes from a problem with the questions we ask ourselves, the scripts we're following, or the rules that we believe we have to live by. When I do life makeovers with people, I typically help them map out all these factors from vision all the way down to specific goals. So you can become a happier person by using a bottom-up approach, like Dr. Lubomirsky described, or you can do a top-down approach, or there's no reason that you can't do both and have the combined benefits. This is Dr. Michael Bricky thanking you for joining us on our quest to live longer, healthier, and happier. And do remember to send those emails to radio@agelesslifestyles.com. That's radio@agelesslifestyles.com. I look forward to hearing from you.